This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon. Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Chloe Wadd. We begin with Harvest Hotline, as always, brought to you by North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated. Well, custom harvest crews are spread across northern North Dakota as small grain and canola harvest moving forward. U.S. Custom Harvesters Vice President Michael Newmiller says his crews are working from the Drake area north to Langdon and Westhope.
So my brother Cole's up in the Langdon area. They've been able to harvest a couple days. They got a rough shot of rain, but some 70-plus bushel wheat up that direction. Pretty good wheat, sounds like. Haven't done any canola up there yet, so don't really have a canola report. West Hope, we just finished the peas later this week. Waiting for the spray to kick in a little bit more before we hit the canola up there.
Rain continuing to slow the harvest in some areas.
Oh, yeah, it's canola, Drake area. We did one truckload two nights ago before they got 2 inches of rain, of course. Combine showed up, kind of been the theme of the summer everywhere we went. Rains as soon as the combine show up. Looks like a good, at least a ton canola there, maybe a little more. So for this year, I'd say that's pretty decent canola.
Newmiller says North Dakota's crop has generally been better than expected. Wheat yields varying by location, especially in areas that missed rain during the growing season.
Crop conditions are mixed near Fauston, Minnesota after a drying growing season. Kyle Vig says wheat harvest is finished, with yields varying depending on where rain fell.
From where we got a little bit of rain, considerably better than on the heavy clay soil that didn't get much rain. They happened to double up there a little bit, but yeah, the yields were very low there. But the wheat ended up on average, about average. So we were somewhat pleased given the dry conditions.
Edible beans will be next. Vega expects black bean harvest to begin next week.
Not sure on there yet. The pod set doesn't seem real good. It seems like not much fill on the tops of the pods. And the same will hold true for the soybeans. I think on the tops, the plants, they're all aborting all the pods on top. So I'm not looking for real good soybeans. But as we start looking at the corn seems to be faring very, very well. It looks like the fill right to the ends of the cobs. They pollinated well. So things are looking good there.
Vig says the dry weather also helped limit disease pressure. He has seen very little scab in wheat and little white mold so far in soybeans.
Crop conditions varying widely across the southern Red River Valley. Gerald Nordick farms corn and soybeans near Rotsay, Minnesota, and says rainfall has made a major difference from one field to the next.
If you took a 30-mile radius wide, there's corn from 0 to 200. It just depended upon if you take Highway 210 east and west. South of there, they've been getting rain. North of there, the farther north you go, the worse it gets. There's corn that doesn't even have cobs up in that area. Soybeans on last year's sugar beet ground are really going backwards. The rest are hanging in there. I don't know how. Corn that's on last year's sunflower sugar beet ground is just ugly. So that's kind of where it's at.
Nordic says his farm may still produce an average crop, but conditions look dramatically different just a few miles away.
An average crop right on our farm, but you can go 2 miles away, and like I said, the corn didn't pollinate in a lot of fields, and it's just a lot of almost barren cobs. So planting date really made a difference when this heat hit the corn. You can have the same variety that'll be filled to the tips and look good. And you can go someplace where it was planted 3 weeks different, and it's a total train wreck.
Small grain harvest continues to move quickly across the region. Spring wheat is 56% harvested in North Dakota, 78% in Minnesota, and 91% in South Dakota, all ahead of average. Barley harvest reached 73% in North Dakota and 83% in Minnesota.
Crop development continues to push ahead of normal. Minnesota corn, 52% dented, double the 5-year average at 26%. North Dakota reaching 24% compared to 14% normally, while South Dakota is 40% dented, ahead of its 27% average.
Soybean development is also running ahead of average. Pod set reached 96% in Minnesota, 94% in North Dakota, and 95% in South Dakota. North Dakota is 8 points ahead of its 5-year average, while South Dakota is also 8 points ahead. That was your Harvest Hotline, and it was sponsored by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley pushing back on President Trump's plan to temporarily suspend tariffs on beef imports. Grassley says cattle producers need more certainty, and as the U.S. herd remains historically small.
But the best way to lower beef prices is not through imported beef. America needs to address the root cause of these lower beef prices, and it's not going to be through imported beef. America needs to address the root problem, having the lowest cattle supply in 75 years.
Grassley says cattle producers are ready to rebuild their herds, but that takes time and money.
We need to put America farmers first by giving them the tools and signals they need to strengthen herd numbers. That means working to increase grazing access, cut inspection costs, and expand processing to reduce reliance on the big four meat packers. I appreciate Secretary Rollins' efforts to rebuild our herd domestically.
Grassley says increasing the domestic cattle supply is the better long-term way to address beef prices while giving producers confidence to invest in rebuilding their herds. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Our news on the Red River Farm Network. Mexico is stepping up its fight against New World screwworm as cattle trade with the United States begins to reopen. Mexico's agricultural minister says more sterile flies will be released in the northern states of Sonora and Chihuahua. The sterile flies mate with wild flies but cannot produce offspring. That helps slow the spread of screwworm. Chihuahua has reported 67 confirmed cases since its first detection in July, and Sonora has reported 2 cases. The added controls come as the U.S. begins phased reopening of the Mexican cattle. USDA says further boarding openings will depend on Mexico meeting screwworm control requirements. The United States is also building a sterile fly production facility in Texas, with completion expected next spring.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar says new U.S. tariffs on Canadian goods will hurt farmers, businesses, and consumers. The Trump administration has placed 50% tariffs on some Canadian goods. Canada is responding with retaliatory tariffs. Klobuchar says the dispute is especially important for Minnesota because Canada is the state's largest trading partner. She says the tariffs will raise costs and make it harder for Minnesota farmers and businesses to compete. Klobuchar has joined Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and Washington Senator Maria Cantwell on the Trade Review Act. The bill would require congressional review and approval of new tariffs within 60 days.
Farm groups want agricultural protected from the growing U.S.-Canada trade fight. The Agricultural Coalition for USMCA is asking the Trump administration to exempt all products covered by the trade agreement from the new 50% tariffs. The duties affect $20 billion in Canadian goods. Coalition spokesperson Brian Goodman says USMCA provides important market access for U.S. farmers. The coalition supports renewing the trade agreement with some targeted changes. Canada and Mexico are two of the largest markets for U.S. agricultural products. The coalition wants the U.S. and Canada to settle their differences without disrupting farm trade.
As a geopolitical analyst, Jacob Shapiro strives to explain clearly the political rationale behind policy decisions.
But I confess the Trump administration has stumped me twice in the past 2 weeks. I was utterly stumped by the tweet about North Korea and about how South Korea should sign on to denuclearization of Iran and that they weren't doing that, so we were going to be buddy-buddy with North Korea. And I'm dumbfounded by the administration's approach to Canada.
Shapiro said tariffs make sense in many cases, but not in this situation.
I think the Trump administration is making both a tactical mistake in the way that it's approaching these negotiations, and I think it's making a fundamental strategic error in thinking that it doesn't need Canada and that Canada is expendable and that Canada will do whatever Washington says because Washington says it. I just don't think that that's going to work. And I think in the long run, that will not be good for the U.S. economy. And probably in the long run, we will end up in the same place that I thought we were going to end up at the beginning of the year, which is we will make some kind of accommodation or deal with Canada because the alternative is not good for the U.S. economy. But I confess to a certain amount of confusion about what the goal is here with Canada in general.
Shapiro will be featured in the next 5 years executive conference, September 10th in Fargo. In addition, a review of global politics. Shapiro will discuss what's happening with artificial intelligence and the impact on farmers.
The biggest risk from the U.S.-Canada trade fight may be what happens long after the tariffs are gone. Canada is looking to build stronger ties with China, Europe, and other markets. If Canadian buyers find new suppliers, analysts warn that some of the business may not return to the United States even after the dispute ends. That could matter for the U.S. agriculture. Canada is a major customer for American farm goods, while U.S. farmers depend on Canada for fertilizer and other inputs. A long trade fight could change those supply chains, raise costs, and cut export opportunities. The larger concern is whether years of closer U.S.-Canada trade begin to unwind, leaving North America agriculture with less certain market for years to come.
The Bois du Sault Watershed District was awarded $6 million for a project to hold 20,000 acre-feet of water from the spring snowmelt. The project began in 2022, but construction shut down over the past 2 years due to a lack of funding. With this money, construction plans are in place for 2027. The funding came from the State of Minnesota Flood Hazard Mitigation Grant Assistance Program, and it is managed through the DNR. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network, the Central Lakes College Ag and Energy Center is preparing for its annual Field Day Friday in Staples, Minnesota. Central Lakes College Dean of Agricultural Studies, Keith Olander, says the event will showcase agriculture research and innovation happening at the center.
Four major areas for farmers. Looking at cover crops, we call it 60-inch corn, but it's interseeding and really looking at soil health around that. We're also doing a tutorial on drone applications as it relates to the different applications in spraying. We're also doing a partnership with NDSU and others around edible bean production. We produce about 50% of the dark red kidneys for the country in this region, and so do a lot of research. And then finally, we do an update on precision irrigation systems.
The field day also gives farmers and public a closer look at what's at work. Olander says there will be opportunities to learn, explore, and take part in activities throughout the day.
For the family, we have a children's program starting at 11, and they're going to get a chance to dig some potatoes, do some cut flowers. And then for general public, we just have our legacy gardens, our living legacy garden tours. We'll also be running at 11, free lunch to follow. And then we'll do an ice cream social in the afternoon. So it's meant to be something for everyone within the family and really trying to bring the community into agriculture and perhaps immerse them a little bit. We'll also do a ride and drive. So we'll have equipment here that they can jump in and drive. Not everybody gets a chance to drive the latest technology that we're using on the farm.
The EverAg risk management business has a new owner. An alternative investment firm called Stone Point Capital has finalized the purchase. It'll operate as an independent company under the leadership of its current management team and will transition to a new brand. Taking a look at the numbers right now, just ahead of the close, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat, September unchanged right now at 693, three quarters. December Chicago up 3.5 at 703, and September Kansas City is up 2.5 at 753. Sep corn is up 9 right now at 5.5. We have Dease corn up 8 at 523.25. September soybeans up 10.5, 1226.5. November is up now 12 at 1236.25. And the livestock markets, October live cattle down 282, 210.77. September feeders down 502, 319.27. And the October lean hogs down 72 cents at 8040. This is the Red River Farm Network.